As we remain standing, let us pray. Blessed are you, Creator God, to you be glory and praise forever. Your Spirit moved over the face of the earth to bring light and life to your creation. Pour out your Spirit on us this day, that we may walk as children of the light, and by your grace reveal your presence. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. I had a good time this week. Starting Monday, I began at the pool asking people what their core values were. See, we hear a lot about core values. If I hear one more politician say, according to our values, they never define what the values are, but apparently we're all supposed to know. What was interesting is most people had difficulty telling, you know, articulating what their core value was. So core values are the fundamental beliefs of a person or an organization. They are guiding principles that dictate behavior, they motivate behavior, and can help people understand the difference between right and wrong. Core values help human beings and companies determine if they're on the right path and fulfilling their goals by creating an unwavering guide. So they are basic beliefs about ourselves, other people, and the world we live in. Now, you can have core beliefs that are iffy. You understand that, right? Okay, so just so we know that. These are things we hold to be absolute truths deep down underneath all our surface thoughts. So negative beliefs about ourselves are deadly to healthy self-acceptance and self-esteem. Some people are motivated by self-interest or greed. And these are core values, too, if they dictate the way people live their lives. An example of a negative core value might be the following: a belief that the world is fundamentally a brutal place and only the strong can survive. Has anybody heard that recently? Core beliefs, therefore, are in a way about beingness, about who we are. And out of that flows what we do. So we either seek peace and harmony or uproar and chaos, ethical behavior or getting things done at any cost. So we all have value systems. Last week in Chicago, it was really nasty in Chicago, a 34-year-old woman named Candida Perry, I don't know if you heard about this, she wasn't wealthy, but she used her credit card to rent 30 hotel rooms to shelter homeless people from the freezing cold. And when people heard of her good deed, others pitched in, and so they were able to secure 72 rooms for 5 nights for 122 people. So what was her core value? What is her core value? Okay, so Shirley, think of a word. What would be her core value? Sharing, okay, go a little deeper than that. Compassion, right? Because sharing, you're right, sharing is the result of what? Having compassion, right? So that's the basis of it. A Polish priest in a concentration camp took the place of another prisoner and gave up his life. What would be his core value? Compassion again? Yeah, I think so too. Stanford University did a study a few years ago, and what they did was they got some students to be guards and some students to be prisoners. Anybody remember this study? And they had to stop it. And you know why? Because the guards were sadistic. So interesting. There was another study they did where, I love how they always use students. They had like this barrier. You know where I'm going with this one? So some people sat on one side and some people on the other. So the one sitting on one, they had to administer pain, right? And what, again, they kept on doing it even though people on the other side were screaming it hurts. So interesting core values. So as the amount of pain increased, and even though they heard the sounds of torture, many did not stop. So here are the five most common core values. By the way, when I asked the folks at the pool, it's interesting, the first one that came up. Integrity, accountability, diligence, perseverance, and discipline. Now, some of the core values of corporations are interesting. Flexibility and punctuality. Okay, so in the passage from Luke, Jesus lays out the value system we as his followers are expected to adopt. And these values are directly tied in to the mission statement that we talked about a couple of weeks ago. Remember that? The Spirit of the Lord's upon me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim release to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind. And that sermon, the sermon today is delivered after many had come to hear him and be healed from their diseases, and those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all in the crowd were trying to touch him, for power came out from him and healed all of them. Adrian and Gareth, you can let him go. Okay. So looking up at his disciples, remember this is the sermon on the plain, by the way, not on the mountain. So looking at his disciples, Jesus begins to teach them of the values that can either ensnare us or free us. And whoa, lo and behold, what does he focus on? He focuses on the poor, the rich, the well-fed, the hungry, the sorrowful, and the happy. Jesus is not pronouncing a blessing on poverty, hunger, or weeping. He is not putting a curse on riches, abundance, laughter, and social acceptance. He is warning us that wealth can be a trap. Wealth can change. I use the word change because we know many wealthy people who are quite philanthropists. Think of one just automatically. Gates, right? William Gates, Bill Gates. So wealth can change a person's value system until they're no longer eager for the gifts of God. Because here's the thing, they think they have everything worth desiring and that their abundance ensures future comfort. We can get so preoccupied with our possessions that we fail to respond to God's invitation. And we go right to self-sufficiency. We don't pass go. We don't collect $200. Remember the story of the rich ruler, Luke 18, who comes to Jesus at night, asking him what he had to do to inherit the kingdom of God. Jesus said, well, he said, I've followed all the commandments. I've done this, that, and the other thing. So Jesus, really? So he assured Jesus he had followed the commandments. So really, what was left to do? Because if you follow all those rules... Jesus replied, actually, there is one thing you have not done, and here it is. Sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. He couldn't do it. He couldn't let it go. And Luke writes, he became very sad. You know, I think maybe it's Matthew. The line is, and as he walked away, Jesus looked at him with love. It's so beautiful to me. The young man couldn't let go, and Luke writes, he became very sad. He valued money more than freedom. And to the listeners that day, Jesus was turning the value system they knew upside down. Because here was the thing, and I think it's still around today. Conventional wisdom held that God blessed the rich and cursed the poor. And I think on some level, we kind of still think that way. Well, just pull yourself up by your bootstraps. You see the implications of that? This gives a new understanding of how upset at the beginning of his ministry in front of a hometown crowd, he decided part of his mission, he declared part of his mission was to bring good news to the poor. No. The poor cursed. No wonder they wanted to kill him. For both the physically poor and its twin cousin poor in spirit, Jesus touches every level. I think the blessing and woe language can trip us up and lead us into some kind of guilty rabbit hole, equating woes and blessings with reward and punishment. The blessings must be what Jesus wants us to do, and the woe things must be what Jesus wants us not to do. The thing is, they don't tell us what to do. They tell us who we are. And more importantly, they tell us who Jesus is. And Jesus knows that even though we are citizens of heaven, the old kingdom of the world can draw us in with power, comfort, success, and recognition on top of the heap. And in the kingdom Christ replaces, these values have no place. The desire to gain wealth and the fear to lose it are the chief breeders of cowardice and contributes to the acceptance of corruption. You want me to go through that again? The desire to gain wealth and the fear to lose it are the chief breeders of cowardice and contributes to the acceptance of corruption. Wealth without the core values of compassion, empathy, and gratitude result in short-sightedness and, again, a false sense of security that the present abundance ensures future comfort. But Jesus is actually, again, the characteristics of my followers is a reversal of these values. So a Christian learns to prize, cultivate, and display sacrifice, service, thankfulness, compassion, endurance, justice, peace, wisdom, hope, and humility. And when I Googled core values of organizations, none of these appeared. We are not to be bound or controlled by things that the world thinks are critical. We are not to be controlled by power, success, comfort, or recognition. And I think that a characteristic mark of what makes you and I Christians is a reversal of these values. The poor are those in desperate need and whose inability to help themselves have driven them to turn to God for hope. And God calls all of us to a reordering of our priorities, to re-examine our values, to ask if our values draw us closer to God or are keeping you and I from living our best life in Christ. I'm going to close with this. Maybe some of you saw this on Facebook. Great humanitarian, former United States President and Christian Jimmy Carter states, "What are the things you can't see that are important?" I would say justice, truth, humility, service, compassion, and love. You can't see any of these, but they are the guiding lights of life. Yay, Jimmy Carter. Let us pray. Spirit of God, Lord and giver of life, moving between us and around like wind or water or fire, breathe into us your freshness that we may awake. Cleanse our vision that we may see more clearly. Kindle our senses that we may feel more sharply, and give us the courage to live as you would have us live. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen.